Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and as promised, he is Brian Scalabrine, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider. You can also hear him on Scal and Pals, which is live on Radio.com from 11 to noon our time. Also on Twitch. The Twitch movement is real. Catch him on Twitch from 11 to noon, and he joins us now. Scal, what's popping, man? Appreciate the time.
Let me ask you guys a question. How are you guys approaching this after, like, sort of the disastrous end to Memphis this season with the injuries and the way they kind of fell out? Are you guys excited about the playoffs like I am?
Oh, I mean, I think, well.
Well, John's adopted Dallas.
He's
really excited.
So there's two ways of approaching it. One is, as it relates to the Grizzlies, I think you have to have the perspective, which is Ja Morant put together one of the greatest performances in the history of the franchise as a rookie. He's a rookie of the year. They got some work to do at the edges, at the margins, mm-hmm. but by and large, the future and the trajectory are looking really good for the Memphis Grizzlies. And then the second part of that is, unfortunately, that it is over, but we love basketball in the city of Memphis. So, yes,
gotcha.
We're locked into the playoffs. I mean, we got some good series. We got some really good series in the NBA this year.
Yeah, I feel like I like how the games are from, like, 1:30 on. It feels very NCAA tournament.
Very much so.
As opposed to, like, having to wait and there's these late games on and you're just kind of cramming them in. It feels like, and I don't want it, it shouldn't feel like that in the world, but every day feels like Saturday and Sunday. So I just kind of have the games on all day. I'm checking them out. It's great. So I've been loving what I've seen so far. And, I do think there's some really good series in this first round.
Yeah, and you don't have to navigate channel surf where's what. I mean, it's all sort of there. All right, so a lot to get to. Before we get into the events of last night, do want to get your thoughts on the Grizzlies, and just sort of as we wrap up and put a bow on their season. Ja Morant had 35. They come up just short. Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum were just a little bit too much there at the end. Ja revealed afterward that he was playing with a fractured thumb, so everybody's dealing with a fractured something. How would you sort of just, you know, summarize and sum up the Grizzlies' year and Ja Morant's performances, you know, now that it's all over?
I actually think it's probably the best thing to how it went down, how they were the high expectations and they going into the bubble. They started the season out and everyone was like, hey, just be competitive, all this stuff. They became one of the funner teams to watch on recast. And then the pandemic hit and they have all eyes on them. They had now they know what it's like to be that. Remember, every experience you face in the NBA typically takes a season. They got two seasons out of one season. They had the internal growth of Ja Morant, who went from, you know, rookie of the year, and then he had to find a way to make that second step. They also had the underdog, no one taking you seriously, and all of a sudden you're in the playoffs in the Western Conference final. I mean, that is no easy task, no matter what you're looking at. And then you have the all eyes on us, bullseye. We got a bunch of teams behind us gunning for us. That's a whole other issue that you have to learn how to deal with. So they got a lot out of this season. Now, the problem with Memphis is this, and it has nothing to do with them. It has to do with the Western Conference. Like, next year, we know the Golden State Warriors are going to be good.
Yep.
So there's only eight that are allowed. So they can have a better year. Ja Morant could get 25%, 30% better. All these guys could be better next year, and they could still be on the outside looking in because it's the West. So how many conversations do you guys have about, like, this? It's kind of ridiculous how there's so many good teams out West, mm-hmm. and then you see Washington, you see Charlotte, Cleveland, Knicks, Brooklyn.
Sucks.
Like, half their guys don't even want to be there, yet they're in the playoffs. It is kind of a messed up thing. I think it's really messed up when everybody's in one location fighting for one spot in the West, and in the East, you have teams that don't even want to be there.
Well, to your point, like, do you believe in what you saw from Phoenix in the 8-0, and just in terms of where Monty, the direction's right, and then there's New Orleans, which would you get on Scal, which on paper, right, if you with a re-signed Ingram on a max, with Zion, with Drew Holiday, on paper should be better than the Grizzlies, right? And then what do you think happens? Maybe San Antonio falls off? You know, maybe that's maybe you dismantle it, but there's no promise of that. And so to that point, while, as John said, my partner said, you know, we get it, they're ahead of schedule, we know it's still going to be tough. And I think that's the thing that, you know, you're cautiously optimistic that the rise can continue. Let's turn this to Boston. Just got the news about Gordon Hayward. I know. So now what? I mean, Jason has been phenomenal. You know, you get the win last night, but what does this do for Boston's chances?
So I think they'll beat Philly. I don't think Philly's a good team.
With you.
I think that, I feel like they're disconnected. And you even watch, they made a lot of tough shots last night. So I'm not really sold on the Sixers. I understand the Embiid, the talent, but no Ben Simmons. So
it's tough.
I think they'll beat Philly. I thought this was going to be four or five game series. This could turn into a six game series. I think Toronto is going to smack Brooklyn. I think they're a better version of Brooklyn. They both play hard. They both have some tough nosed guys with chips on their shoulder. But the problem is, I can't see how Boston beats Toronto if they're in a grueling series with Philly, and all of a sudden Toronto just gets through and they're waiting for them. Toronto's well coached. They got inside play. They got outside play. They got dudes that have been there before. Yep. So I think the hit is not going to be felt necessarily against the Philadelphia 76ers, but I think it will be felt against Toronto. But and listen, I think the part of the reason that Gordon Hayward is going to miss 4 weeks, and they use that term 4 weeks, is because his wife, he was set to leave the bubble anyways, mm-hmm. because his wife was going to have a baby. And this is another thing that's so weird about the bubble, right? Typically in the playoff series, dudes had babies all the time. They would just, in between two games, they would wait, and then or they would be with their wife,
right,
and they would have the baby, and then they'd go and play, and then they'd come back to the hospital. Like, the situation is kind of messed up. And even, like, the Utah Jazz missing Mike Conley, and he has to be out for another game. So I have a feeling if the Celtics somehow be playing 4 weeks from now, then Gordon Hayward will be back, and I think he'll be fresh, but they just have to figure out a way to be playing, because it's like, to me, Toronto is really good.
Yeah.
They have looked fantastic.
No doubt about that. All right. So a lot of controversy last night in the Clippers and the Mavs game. The Clippers got the huge lead. Mavs battle back. It's a back-and-forth affair. The Mavs actually kind of look like they're on the way to maybe even winning this thing. And then Porzingis gets into a little bit of a kerfuffle, gets ejected. I'm going to be honest. I know Steve Javy said he thought it was the right call. I really did not see anything that justified it. I think if this was 2005, he'd have gotten absolutely – I mean, that wouldn't have even registered if this was, you know, 15 years ago. Yet it resulted in an ejection. And sadly, like, I mean, you have to say it changed the game. I mean, because the Clippers immediately responded with a run. They were down five. You know, exactly. I mean, it changed the game. Why did Porzingis get ejected? What did you think of it?
So I've always been for this. And I know this is only my thing. I feel like a double technical to the referees should be ejected. I also feel like a double technical, like you get two technicals with unsportsmanlike, whether it's taunting or getting the guy's face or shoving that, you should also get ejected. I also believe that three of those in a game should cause you to get ejected. But like, he waves off a bad call and he gets a T. Then he stands up for his teammate and he gets kicked out. I don't understand how that warrants a guy not being there. I've always thought that, like, the dealings with the officials is one, and the penalty for, like, waving off an official, the free throw is good enough. I that's where I think. You're like, dang it, bad call, come on, man. And the penalty for that is a free throw. I do believe that. And I do also believe that you can't just be doing that the whole game and you can't get five technicals. I'm with you. But it feels like what he did was not deserving of changing the outcome of the game. Now, that's the Porzingis thing. Now, I guess you like the Dallas Mavericks. You're a Dallas fan?
Yeah. All of a sudden, he's some kind of Dallas fan.
I'm a fan of Luka.
Okay. Fine. Here's the deal. What we saw last night was no different than what Dallas does every game this season. They're great offensively early on. Luka is moving the ball. But in that fourth quarter, they are missing that guy. And that's the reason why. They're a top five offensive team in the first three quarters. And they're a bottom 10 offensive team in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
So they can't execute down the stretch.
Yeah.
So what we saw is it's just another example of Dallas. And I don't think it has anything to do with like Lucas. I don't think I'm not sitting here pointing the finger at him saying he's not clutch. But you need really another guy to go get you a bucket. That's what Dallas needs. Now, is that Brad Beal? Is it Victor Oladipo in a couple years? It's one way or another. If Luka legend is going to be that and Dallas is going to get on top, they need another defensive wing who can go get you a bucket. And that's how far they are from winning. And I think they have a great situation. Obviously, you're probably familiar with the Luka contract. He's on a scale contract. Yeah. They have room, but they have to figure out how they're going to land the ultimate free agent. And they don't have a lot of assets to trade for this guy. So it's going to be really interesting. But until then, their offense has always been poor in the fourth quarter all season long. So even though you can point to the Porzingis getting kicked out, what's really happening is what's happened all year long. They just can't get good looks in the fourth quarter.
If you've got the opportunity, let's do it this way. I asked my partner, 21 or under, who you're starting it with, Luka or Ja, and that's why we're giving him the hard time in Memphis, because he picked Luka, and I think you can fairly do that. I mean, the man had 42 last night in his first game. But I'm going to pose it to you this way, Brian, because you come to from the Boston side. If I raised that to 22 and I gave you Luka, Trey, Zion, Ja, and Jason Tatum, who are you taking out of that bunch to start with?
Yeah, I'll go Luka. Yeah, what he can do, Jason Tatum is nice. But when Luka is driving the ball, do you see Kawhi Leonard?
Kawhi's trying to stop him, and he can't. Yeah.
It's like Kawhi Leonard used to stare LeBron James in the face and be like, I got you. I'm going to stop you. When he checked into the game, LeBron looked back at the free throw line and was like, dang, I got to deal with that man again. Luka dismisses people off the dribble. And by the way, he does it when he goes right. He does it when he goes left. And if you do send another guy, he's throwing darts out to other wide open players. The guy is special. And when you, at this age, to be special, now, here's the one thing I have to bring up, because this is what we do in this business, is he has been playing high level basketball since he was 13 years old.
That's right.
I don't know what that does to your body. I don't know what it's like when you're playing 13, you're playing against grown men, and your body, all that wear and tear. Mm-hmm. He wore out at the beginning of, he had a great start, then he wore out. And he seems to wear out in the fourth quarter. So I don't know if he has the body to sustain what it takes to make a huge, deep playoff run. That's to be determined. And maybe that will be determined when he gets another player like a Brad Beal or a Victor Oladipo or whoever they end up trying to sign as his second guy.
Yep.
But Luka is an unreal talent. He's got a huge body. He can go where he wants to go on the floor. He can handle it. And this is not just Kawhi Leonard. Marcus Smart, you guys are probably familiar, mm-hmm. beast of a defender, one of the best in the NBA. He dismisses Smart like he's nothing when it's out there. I'm sure when you're Kawhi Leonard and you get hit by Luka and you jump back 3 feet, you're probably scratching your head like, wait a minute. I've guarded some of the best in the world, and I haven't felt this before. So I want to give him a ton of credit. I think I'd take Luka first, and then I'd probably go with Tatum, because Tatum can get a shot off anytime he wants. And he's a good defensive player as well.
We are, of course, talking to the great Brian Scalabrine, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider, brought to you by Pennzoil Motor Oils, made from natural gas. The proof is in the print. Pennzoil. Also, catch him on Scalapels on Twitch and Radio.com. Okay, this is what everybody wanted. I don't know if you were in that camp, Scal, about how, we got to see Dame versus the Lakers. We just have to see it. The Trailblazers are 7-2 in the bubble. They just look unstoppable. Dame's averaging 75 points a game. I think they are going to be the bug, and the Lakers are going to be the windshield. I think it's going to be a reality check for everybody out there who's fallen in love with Dame's three-point shot. Where are you on this?
Wait, so you said the – wait, hold on. hold on. Say it again. You said that Dame and the Portland Trailblazers are the bug, and
yes,
the Lakers are the windshield.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Yes.
I think this whole thing is, yeah, the hype train, that's actually my lock of the day. And I'm not I hate when I have to bet the Lakers. I hate it. I hate betting on LeBron and everything like that. But, like, come on, man. They couldn't stop Caris LeVert. They couldn't. Like, John Morant did anything he wanted out there. I'm going to remind you guys, what do you think LeBron is going to do? Like, who is he going to stay? Like, is CJ McCollum going to pick up LeBron? Is it going to be Gary Trent Jr.? Like, who's guarding LeBron in this one? So, I'm with you, man. I am not. Listen, I think Portland is much better with Nurkic out there, and Nurkic is a good defensive player. He's a good playmaker and all that. But man, LeBron James in that first round, he gets a few days off. Whatever he goes, zero dark 23 or whatever he says, I'm going no social media. He goes into a whole nother level. I've seen him with my eyes so many times. I'm with you. Lakers roll this series, but I do like Oklahoma City in the second round against the Lakers. I know it's crazy, but I'm a huge, I never loved Chris Paul. I like Chris Paul. I don't love Chris Paul. And I hate that he's on those dang commercials because I see him too much. But I think that Chris Paul, this is like his year to do something. And people are going to now know, like, Chris Paul is the man. And he's going to manage the game. So I do have Oklahoma City beating the Lakers in the second round.
Scott, was there ever a guy for you that maybe a Marcus Morris type? Going back to the Porzingis thing, like Marcus Morris, you know, we don't talk enough about the role player he is, and kind of that job of not getting under your skin. Yeah, but he's also averaging like almost 17-5. But he's that ultimate get under your skin guy. Was there ever a guy for you that was like that guy when you saw him? Is like, dude, I don't even want to go against you tonight. I'm in a bad mood. I already know what you're going to try to do. Was there ever a guy like that for you that you just hated to see coming? Maybe, you know, wasn't a star necessarily, but a role guy whose job it was to get under your skin.
Yeah, so no one was wasting any time getting under my skin. So just to understand, like, that's like a Marcus Morris job. Like, I don't, but I will say we had a guy, and not necessarily get under your skin, but it makes your life miserable, was James Posey when we won the championship.
Oh, we know
in
him
2008.
Well. Yep.
Oh, man. James Posey was the man. You know what I loved about James Posey? He was the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th man, given on the, depending on the day. And he would call KG out. He would bring in his hardware. He'd show, you know, KG and Paul Pierce, like, you guys got to listen to me because I got this ring right here. And so it matters. It does matter when you have hardware. And he was a great teammate. He brought it every single night. He guarded the best player every single night when he was out there. And he would try to get under the skin of those guys. He understood who he was and how his job is to make Paul Pierce's life easier. His job was, when he was with Miami, to make D. Wade's life a little bit easier. So I think Posey was that guy for us. And I thought it was one of my favorite teammates. And this is a strong statement. It might not be true, but I'm not sure we win at all without Posey. You know, start to finish and everything he brought to the team in 2008.
You think he'll be a great head coach eventually? Any on?
You know,
I mean,
what?
Isn't that
what
he's kind of angling for? Go ahead.
I stopped guessing on that.
I hear you.
I stopped guessing on it. I don't know. Like, I don't. I think there's so many. It's so easy for people just to say yes to everything.
Sure.
Right. Oh,
sure.
Yeah, I love that guy. Yeah. But man, there's
it's relationships, motivating guys,
and not just him. The owner, the people you get, the people they force you to hire or not. Your own
absolutely.
Staff. You're not your own staff. There's so many variables in that it's kind of unfair to be judging these coaches. And some could be good in one situation and bad in another. So
that makes sense.
Some guys could be good the first 2 years and bad after that. So I stopped doing that. I just like to look at coaches and say, I do know the ones that are good now when I watch them.
Absolutely.
I know Nick Nurse is good.
Man.
I know he's good.
Yeah. Hey, Scott, man, we appreciate
this
the time.
This is awesome
as
every
always.
Time, brother. Thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate the time and the business, man. Thank you.
You got it, guys. Anytime. See
ya. Yep. He is Brian Scalabrini, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider, brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oil is made from natural gas. Approves in the Pennzoil. Catch him on Scal and Pals. Catch him on Scal and Pals every day from 11 to noon. That's on Radio.com and Twitch.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.